So I'm reading from the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, and God is speaking to the nation of Israel, the newly formed nation of Israel. Remember that when God created the world, there was no nation. Not to say there were any nations. There weren't any nations. There were zero nations of the world. And the nation of Israel was actually made up of 12 tribes of people that had gathered themselves, mostly because they had a genetic link. If you, any of you study genealogy, they had a genetic link. But the truth is that if they went all the way back, they probably had a genetic link anyway, I think. In any case, God is trying to help them understand what they're to do, how they're to do it, how they should live as God's people. And God has gone through quite a list of things that they should be doing and shouldn't be doing. And now, at the end of that, God says, "So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and the ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land of the Lord." Now, remember, the people at this time have no idea what that land is. You know, they don't know about the floods and the crossing the Red Sea. And, you know, I mean, that this is just something that the Lord's going to give them. Could be output or right there. Who knows? And occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take anything away from it. That's from what God gives us. But keep the commandments of the Lord your God with which I am charging you. You have seen for yourselves what the Lord did with regard to Baal of Peor. How the Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor, while those of you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today. Little side note for those of you who haven't done much study of the Bible, Baal was a human-made little g god, like pagan gods, like mythological gods, like Zeus and, you know, all of that. And people started worshiping Baal, and God came in and said, "Oh, no, 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 that's not God. I'm God." And destroyed Baal's power. Okay? So the people who held fast to the Lord's teachings are still alive there. And the people would have known that. "See, just as the Lord my God has charged me," and this is now, human Moses, "has charged me, I now teach you statutes and ordinances for you to observe in the land that you are about to enter and to occupy. You must observe them diligently. For this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, 'Surely this is a great nation, this wise and discerning people. For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to God? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care, watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." And if we went on, it would be "in your children's children's children, in your children's 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 children." Did I skip a generation? Let me go back and do it all again. Oh, no. "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. times do you think in the Bible God tries through various and sundry ways to teach us what it is that we're supposed to do? From the very beginning, working with Adam and Eve, working with the first male and the first female, God is trying to help us understand, here's what you need to do. This is all you need to do to make me happy. I created you to live in this wonderful, amazing world. And here's all you need to do in order to keep me happy. Take care of each other. Take care of the world. And once in a while, listen to what I have to say. There you go. Have we ever gotten it right? Nope. How many times? How many different ways? You know, we go through all of these different stories, and God tries all these different, you know, God's got to be the most creative God. I can't even imagine. God gives us a part of God's own creativity. And think around this room. How many people have all sorts of different kinds of creativity? And God's got all of that, plus all the rest of the creativity out in this world. While I was sick, I was watching some YouTube videos, and I was watching, in India, there is a type of stitching. And I can't remember the name of it. I apologize. I meant to look it up again. But it's a kind of stitching where you do a background type of stitching. Then you go back and you stitch in between the stitching that's been done. Then you go back and you stitch in between those two stitchings. And by the time you get done, there is not a single piece of fabric that is not covered. But you have no idea where it started and where it stopped. It's amazing. And it's gorgeous. And it takes months to make these things. These people who do this, you know, they work months and months on it. It's gorgeous stuff. And the creativity and the beauty of these people's minds. God gave them that creativity, gave us the creativity, gave scientists the creativity to come up with a formula that is going to give us a vaccine to help us fight things. Polio shots. Influenza shots. COVID shots. Scientists working in laboratories on things like antibiotics when we need them. Or cortisone when we need it. Or even just a basic bag of fluids when we get dehydrated. A different kind of creativity. God gives us all sorts of creativity. And there's so many people in the world that aren't using their God-given creativity. They're afraid. Well, you know, somebody would make fun of me if I did that, or that doesn't make very much money, or... But God needs you. God needs you to do what God gave you to do. And there's so many ways in which we can help each other. That's, you know, the next thing that God said was we're supposed to help each other. One of the things that as I started feeling better, I got really bored really fast. I like to read, but I do have to say one of the things that I did have trouble with COVID was my eyes. I couldn't sit and read for very long. I'd start kind of getting googly eyes. And so I'd sit and read for a little bit, and then I couldn't figure out what to do. So I decided that I would start going through my clothes and cleaning out my clothes. Because they were right there, and I could just sit down and do that. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, I have 7 times the number of clothes that I need to have. It's just awful. I love clothes. They're fun. So I went through my clothes. I've got an entire car load to go to health services so somebody else can use those clothes and love them, and shoes and bags, things like that. It gave me something to do, but it also hopefully is going to help somebody else. And I did it because I was bored. There are so many ways we can help. You look in your cabinet and you look for something to eat, and there's in there, there are two cans that every time you look in your cabinet, you go by them. You go right by them. You don't, yeah, that's there, but no, I don't want that. And you go right by them. And you go by them every time. You got them because you thought, oh, maybe I'll make so-and-so. Or, oh, if I can't get to the store sometime in the winter, I'll have that. Take those cans out and give them to the food pantry. You have more than you need. I was talking to my mom, the mom, adopted mom in Peoria, and she said her son had brought her some ice melt. They're getting ready early. Brought her some ice melt because he was talking about, well, now what do you need to help winterize you and get ready for this? Ice melt, okay. So he's going to help her out because, you know, she's 83. It's hard for her to carry those bags of ice melt. So he brought her ice melt and was going to put it in the garage, open the garage door open. She has six bags of ice melt. He said, Mom, is it okay if I take it to the church and offer it to the church? Because I don't think you're going to get out this much, that you're going to need six bags of ice melt. She said, I didn't think I had any. She said, well, take two more. Leave me with four and take it four to the church. We're to help one another. You know what you're supposed to do. Don't ignore what God says for you to do. We're supposed to help one another. We're supposed to love one another. And it's easy stuff. If you can do what you did last week, then you can do anything. I have seen this church do miracles in the space of a day, a week, a month. Remember when we did the Adopt-A-Bill right after I came? Put a big poster board here and had all the bills, and there was a whole lot of money. And boy, did I hear about it. Woo-hoo, baby. We'll never get all of that. These people aren't going to give all, that person's not going to, you know, a person who's not going to give this, well, they can get, you know, get together with somebody else. Not only did we pay all the bills that were on there, but we had leftovers. You can do anything that you put your mind to, your heart to, your faith to. The Bible is full of different people saying the same thing in different ways. When are you folks going to stop trying to fight doing what God wants and just do it? Without needing commercial gimmicks, without needing special days, without just doing every day. Now, how many of you need to go clean out your pantries? And how many of you need to clean out your freezers? And how many of you need to give your minister some beef? And how many of you... And how many of you have too many pairs of shoes? And how many... I mean, and I don't mean just the women. I know some men that have got a lot of pairs of shoes. Last thing that we're supposed to do is never to forget and to pass on to our children, our grandchildren, our grandchildren's children. Are we doing that? We are a real good example of it back there. Of course, they're talking right at the moment. I'm going to catch them talking in church.
We're talking about our shoes.
Yeah, our shoes. There we go. They're talking about how many shoes they're going to. We need to pass on what we know to our kids. And if they're not our kids, I mean, I'm not talking about that they have to be blood relations. You know, Sheila Scott's constantly trying to find ways that we can do things for the kids. Not necessarily her kids, I guess, you know, her grandkids, but other kids, the Methodist kids, the Baptist kids, anybody's kids, just bring the kids. They got to know about Jesus. And there's a lot of you that believe that. And we got to keep trying to make it happen. We've got to teach our children and our children's children and our children's children's children how much we love Jesus, so they will teach it to their children's children's children. Let us pray. Almighty God, it's really not as hard as we would like to make it. It just needs some sacrifice on our part, a lot of dedication, some time, and a whole lot of love of you. But we can do it, Lord. We can do it. With 10 or 100 or 1,000, we can do what you ask us to do. Help us be strong. Help us be devoted. Help us show the world how to love you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. A hymn of invitation is, Oh, How I Love Jesus, verses 1 and 3.